Hey, it's Chuck, and I'm finally home. Let's get it.
And I don't think he's going to throw the ball as much as he thinks he's going to throw the ball now that Chip Kelly's on board. And I'm happy about that. More quarterback.
The truth is Ryan Day has made a change philosophically, but it's none of those.
You all know who wins. LSU is the drunkest fan base in the country.
And welcome in. Fantastic to be home amongst my doodads, as my buddy Eric from Kokomo called him the other day. That's the stuff behind me. Happy to be back in my set with my normal microphone. That was a challenge last week, and I understand that some people weren't too happy with some things about the show. One gentleman told me that I was like watching paint dry, which, listen, lesson learned. I'll never record with my wife sleeping 6 feet away from me again in a hotel room. But it was all about getting reps, and I'm just trying to get better every day. So, you know, you get better, you live and learn. But I wanted to stay consistent with people who have been nice enough to put me in their daily rotation with all their other Buckeye shows. And if you have a daily rotation of Buckeye shows, and any of those are live shows, I would highly encourage you to get in the comment section. And there is a community that just kind of bounces from one show to the next throughout the day. And really awesome folks. And Eric from Kokomo is one of them, and everybody knows Eric. So I would definitely recommend that you check that out. But we're back, and I can be as fiery as I wanted to be today because she's not sleeping, and there's some things I've got to be fiery about today. And I want to preface this by saying everything's going great, okay? Everything's going great in the big picture. But, you know, when everything's going great, there's always things that can be a little bit better. And it's about those little small margins that separate the championship teams from the teams that almost get there, to me. And Graham Nicholson, the Lou Groza Award winner from Miami of Ohio, has signed with Alabama. Now, I've been in a few arguments about this today. I don't think this is just a shrug of the shoulders, to be honest. I think that there was an enormous potential to get an advantage right there. And a great kicker is a big advantage. And I would think a guy like Ryan Day, who was a great kicker away from a national championship, would have been all over it. Now, it definitely appears that Alabama tampered with this kid. He entered the portal knowing he was going to Alabama. I concede that point. And did Ohio State try to get in? I don't know. But I would have thought that Ryan Day would have known that there was a Lou Groza Award winner in the state at a MAC school and maybe tried to pursue that. You know, I just would have thought that that would have been something that the Buckeyes would have been all over on. I feel like that is a big miss and not a huge deal, not something I'm making a huge deal out of. But again, I'm nitpicking because when it comes down to it, things are that close and we know it. We've been through it. Halftime at Michigan last year, Georgia, you know, we've been through this and that just seems like a golden opportunity that was missed to me. So not something massive, but all of us in here, most of us are fans of a team in the AFC North, and it's probably not Baltimore, but we all know what it's like to play against Baltimore in a close game late against Justin Tucker and just have that deflating feeling every time he walks on the field. And, you know, a kicker can matter. And I don't know. My hope is we got a good young kicker. I think he's going to be pretty good, but Lou Groza, man. Lou the Toe Groza. What can I say? Anyway, it is what it is. Just a nitpick, but I thought it could have been done. I thought that they could have gone and got that, and I'm disappointed that they didn't go after that ahead of time. And the fact that he's at a place that we're going to, man, if we play Alabama in the playoffs, oh, buddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm thinking. This dude's going to be on a playoff team now. So, Lathan Ransom is one of my favorite Buckeyes. He was playing amazing football before his injury. That dude is everywhere. Lay in the wood. Plays with fire. He's a clear leader on the team. And I'm just a huge fan of his game. Well, last week, Lathan was on the Bobby Carpenter Show with Bobby and Josh Perry. And I am, I've never really listened to Lathan talk, but I'm even a bigger fan now. He had a couple things to say, and I was just like, dude, this guy is awesome. So in high school in Arizona, he wasn't very familiar with Ohio State. And it was his dad's reaction to his Ohio State offer that really perked his interest. So he went as a high school kid and read up on a bunch of Ohio State history. I think that's really rare and really cool from a young guy. And I respect the heck out of him. And he respected the heck out of Josh Perry and Bobby Carpenter, which was just really awesome to see. And at one point in the appearance, Lathan said, when I talk to former players like you guys, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, I don't feel like I'm really part of the brotherhood because I don't have any gold pants. It was tough to hear, man. And it was awesome to hear that he cares that much about that. And this dude is somebody who I believe is going to be a captain. He is that awesome. And I was just so excited to be able to see that side of him. I normally don't like player interviews. I usually find them boring. And I can just tell you from my own personal experience that most people don't. When I do my regular show versus one where I have a guest on who's a player, it's like maybe a third of the views. It's just, I'm like, most of us really like, we like what we like. And whenever there's a deviation, like an interview, we usually don't tune in. And I usually don't either, but I'm happy that I caught this. And I'm going to put that link of that show in the description, because if anybody's a Lathan Ransom fan, you've got to watch this. It was really excellent. This guy cares deeply. He really cares deeply. And you love to see that. This day and age when it just feels so professionalized, you know, college football, and it feels like college is just kind of the next step for especially the high-level recruits at Ohio State. It's the next step to get to the NFL. And when you see someone that really genuinely cares that much, they all care. But the way Lathan cares, I think it's probably pretty rare. There's probably more of it on our team than we see around other places. I believe that for sure. But it was really cool to listen to, and I think everybody should. The three main issues that threaten kind of the sport of college football right now as to where it's going are the transfer portal, NIL, and conference realignment. And there was a massive decision in Virginia regarding NIL, as the state of Virginia has passed legislation that now makes it legal for universities to pay student athletes directly through NIL. Now, similar legislation is in the courts in three, not coincidentally, huge football states, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Louisiana. And that legislation will pass in all three of those states. So it's going to fly around the country, and I think it's going to pass fast all around the country. So I'm just trying to sit here and brainstorm as to what this is going to look like. And I think we can say for one, for sure, the universities are now going to make their main collective an in-house operation. They're going to try to distance themselves from the current collectives. And I think that's a good thing. There are a lot of seedy NIL collectives, as we know. There have been ones that have come and gone and not honored their deals. It's just much better for the university to have control of that. And I think it's still going to be majority donor funded, I would imagine. The athletic department relies on a lot of donations. They'll probably keep it separate from the athletic department. I imagine that there's a lot of NIL collectives that are not going to want to go away. They'll want to hang around. One thing I've noticed with some of these NIL collectives that popped up at the beginning is they're either founded by, you know, one really wealthy guy or a couple, you know, a little board of really wealthy guys. And I can see from their perspective, like, listen, we were here for you when you guys needed us. And now you're just going to kind of push us out of the way. I don't think that they're all going to be okay with that. And I imagine that they're going to try to keep their NILs up and running. And, you know, that could present kind of a weird situation there. But the universities are going to be controlling the biggest NIL at all these universities, I would imagine. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this shapes out. So how long are the fans going to continue to donate to NIL if it's the university now that's in control of it? You know, we do it now because we know that the university is not allowed to pay them, right? What happens when we know the university is allowed to pay them? Do we continue to donate? I can tell you now, I've got a totally different kind of feeling about that withdrawal coming out if it's going to Ohio State directly. You know, we pay a ton of money into Ohio State football as it is, if we're fans, if we go to games, if we buy gear, everything we do. And now I'm supposed to cut a check to Ohio State to pay the players. that feels a little different than, listen, we got to deal with the rules or we're going to get left in the dust. So I need to donate to this collective to make sure we don't get left behind. So I can just tell you from my standpoint, as someone who donates monthly to an NIL, I feel differently about donating to an NIL that is run by Ohio State. That just feels different to me. At that point, I think it's like, okay, now the law is different. Now you guys, it's time for you to pay. You know, we carried you along for these 3 or 4 years, however long it takes to get to that point. And then what does the university in turn do? Do they start funding that NIL on their own? How much do they fund the NIL? And obviously at Ohio State, this is not going to be a huge problem for Ohio State, I don't believe. But when we talk about other schools, you know, it just may be. And I can see these massive battles coming if it's set up like this between the fan base who is begging the school to spend the money and maybe the school trying to say we don't have the money to spend. Again, it's just another weird thing that we're going to have to deal with as this comes up. And I could be way off as to how this is going to be set up, but I'm just speculating here, and I would love to hear what you guys think. Another thing here, you had 3 to 4 years to get to this point, and I think there are a lot of NILs who would have got themselves very firmly entrenched in the NIL world. And basically, hey, we were here when you guys needed us, and they're going to want to remain. The universities are not going to want these competing NILs to remain. So they are going to tell the fans, we don't want you to mess with them, donate straight to us. I imagine most of the fans will agree with that. It's more logical for the university to have the university run the NIL, deal directly with the coach, exactly what the roster needs are. It just makes it more of a seamless operation. And the NIL guys that started this, in a lot of cases, these are really wealthy guys, independent guys, or a group of wealthy people who started these. And they're not going to, I think there's going to be some of them are not going to like being kind of pushed out of the space, especially when they were there for everybody, when they were needed. And I think they will continue, some of them, to run their NILs. And then it's just going to be this awkward competing NIL, which is probably just going to funnel off about 10% of the money. That NIL is going to be about 10%, 90% will go to the school NILs. This is just the weirdest. It's the weirdest system ever, man. And this has just added another weird element to it. However, I think it is progress. I think it's closer to getting it to where it'll eventually be, which is in the hands of the school to pay the players. But a very interesting, an interesting thing. And I would love to hear your guys' opinions on it, as I've heard nobody talk about it yet. Or heard anybody's opinions, but I was just brainstorming on how this could potentially look. And it's just another weird college football thing. It's just totally bizarre, this sport we love here. One other thing. I really want to see if the school is controlling the NIL. I want to see the money that I give go to football. Now, we know the athletic department is funded by football and basketball, and the way they spread the money, I think a lot of people don't always agree with. They maybe don't spend as much money on football as we would like. That better be the case with the NIL. If the school is now in control of the NIL fund, you know, and they start doling out that money to volleyball and softball and Olympic sports instead of directly to football, that's going to be pretty contentious with the fan base for sure. This is just a whole nother weird situation. And man, I tell you, I'm here for it. I think it's a good thing to get it back in. At least some of these collectives are extremely shady, and there's no doubt about that. We see it all the time. So I think it's better to have it in the hands of the school, but it's still just another awkward situation that's going to be totally bizarre and just another interesting thing to talk about. So let me know what you guys think about that. The Elite 11 Regionals were at Upper Arlington on Sunday. Participants included quarterback commits from Pitt, Kentucky, West Virginia, Iowa, Virginia Tech, Miami, Ohio. That's Tavian St. Clair warming up with RJ Day, son of Ryan Day there. And there's a little bit more footage of Tavian here. Nathan Bernard was there, another interesting prospect out of Ashland. And Chip Kelly's going to be visiting him soon. And he's also going to be visiting Levi Davis out of Olentangy Orange. Man, he's just a unit. Now 30 is a good score here on this. 35, our guy. Absolute unit, man. That's an impressive looking dude. That is an impressive looking dude. And he was asked afterwards. He did obviously a lot of interviews. There was all the Buckeye media was there. And they were talking to him about recruiting. I've loved how this guy has embraced recruiting. He is him and Devin Sanchez as well, both in the class early. Tavian was in earlier than anybody. And he has been such a dogged recruiter after everybody. And he said that it was stressful watching guys take visits elsewhere, which I thought was hilarious. Sounds like a coach. It was stressful. It's stressful watching him take visits elsewhere because he knows deep down Ohio State is the best place for them. Just love hearing that. He talked a lot about, we talked about Nate Davis. We got our tight end. Nate Davis is an awesome tight end. I hadn't really done a deep dive on him until recently. And a lot of people have said things like this dude looks like Travis Kelce on the field. He does. He does. I generally hate comparisons like that, but he really does. He moves like him. The stride is the same. The size is about the same. I think he maybe needs to grow one more inch, which he probably will. He's massive. I mean, he's a huge dude. And a lot of it is he's playing with guys a little smaller than him in out there in Oklahoma. But a really awesome tight end, man. I really can't get enough of watching that dude. But Chip is going to go see Tavian St. Clair, Nathan Bernhard from Ashland. That's that dude's like 6'5", 225. Really raw prospect, howitzer arm. And he's going to go see Levi Davis from Olentangy Orange, who's a prospect a lot of people like. I don't think he's an Ohio State prospect because he's under 6 foot. And unfortunately, that's just kind of the way that rolls. And then Chip is going to head out to California and see Ryan Noon and Brady Smigel. Smigel's the number two quarterback in the class. Then he's heading with a contingent down to Florida to see Dia Bell. Dia Bell is the guy that I think he's after most in 2006. That's the son of Raja Bell, 2007 and 2008 NBA Defensive Player of the Year out of American Heritage, which is Brandon Ennis's high school. And I don't know, man. It's early in the process, and Dia Bell is really skinny, but I watched a bit on him. We showed some of his clips. I think he's legit. And if Chip is going after a quarterback like that, a guy that can move like him, I really love it. I really love it. Spring games are over, and some people like Pete Nakos of On3 predicted from the beginning that this was not going to be a madhouse like some were saying that it was going to be, but more of a slow burn. Pete Nakos has kind of become the preeminent transfer portal guy in media, which is kind of an odd niche. But he was on the Tim May show talking to Tim May last week, and he was telling Tim how much he loved the portal, loved player mobility. He's a young dude, and I can understand how he feels like this may be the right course of action or the right thing for college football, and I'm not against player mobility. I would like to see ultimately one free transfer a second time, and you got to sit out a year. But the notion that two times a year players can be free agents being a good thing is just really short-sighted. It's probably the nicest way I can put it. I think it's horrible, and I think it's untenable. And if we don't fix this, I think we all know it, it's going to lead to like a hemorrhage of fans. I really believe that. I just don't think that you can continue to do this and watch people. There's a whole lot of teams that don't benefit from this. I know like we've benefited from this, so it might maybe shape the way we see it. But there's a lot of teams that these two portal windows have lost a lot of their team, valuable pieces of their team, and have not seen anything return. And that's going to turn a lot of people off in the long run. And I just, this is just bad, man. No contracts, two free agency periods a year. It's pretty insane. It really is when you think about it. Pete Nakos does think that the transfer portal is going to pick up now that spring practices are over and spring games are over. Pete Nakos does think that spring practices being over now, along with spring games and meetings, that the transfer portal. Pete Nakos did say that he thinks that the transfer portal is now going to pick up a little more now that spring practice, spring games, and meetings with coaches are over. And I think he's right. It will pick up with mid-level guys. But many are thinking that that means it's going to now pick up with impact guys. I totally disagree with that. I think that players who are impact type of guys aren't players who are basing any decisions off the spring game or spring practice being over. If they wanted to leave, they were going to leave already. I think this is medium to lower of the totem pole guys on the roster, not studs that we're going to see maybe a little more action with. That's just my opinion here. I think we've seen maybe the worst of this as far as sport shifting kind of guys. And all in all, it was not a very big deal. And Jaden Rashada doesn't move the needle for me. Second string quarterback at Arizona State. But he is apparently meeting with Georgia. I think that's probably going to happen. And that could be a good move for him or a really big mistake, and he could be back in the portal. As for our Bucks, the spring game's over. The meetings are over with the coaches and the team. And we've lost now still exactly two guys in Dallin Hayden, a running back that we all kind of suspected might transfer for a long time, but didn't really talk about it. More on him later. And Cedric Hawkins, who has now transferred to UCF. He signed on with them. Cedric Hawkins is kind of the type of transfer that I think is both good for the roster and the player. And I kind of like it when I see it. You know, he was never going to play. That was pretty clear to him. And he got to go somewhere where he thinks he's going to play. And that's good. And that's why I like the one free transfer. Choose wisely, because then the second time you're going to have to sit out a year. I think that's a perfect system, and I hope that that's what they're going to kind of gear towards when they eventually get all this straightened out, when they get to the next phase of all this. And I expected we'd see about seven or eight guys move out of Ohio State, and that's not because I thought there'd be seven or eight disgruntled guys, but I just thought there'd be seven or eight guys at the bottom of the roster that probably felt like they were never going to get their shot at Ohio State. And, you know, I think that's probably always the case. There's probably I might have just expected in my head, or maybe just been preparing myself for some potential bad news, but I don't think we're going to get anywhere close to that now. We may see a couple more, but if we don't, I won't be surprised anymore, and I think that's awesome. A commenter on my last video did not like the idea of wasting a scholarship on the kicker. I was talking about Graham Nicholson, and then he asked me the key question, which is, can a non-scholarship player receive NIL? And the answer is absolutely yes, and it's not been discussed much. But let's lay this out. The 85-man scholarship limit means absolutely nothing now. It's totally obsolete. It's over. Well, the rule still exists. But the point of the scholarship is to take care of the school tuition for the student athlete. So if it's crossed your mind, hey, can't they just pay the student the cost of tuition, room and board, and then he can keep the money or take out a bunch of student loan debt, pay his tuition or not? The answer is yes. You can absolutely do that. This means all you need to do to go over that scholarship limit, if you want to, is be willing to pony up for that. Maybe a couple of extra benefits to get somebody to go along with it. Being a scholarship athlete means getting free tuition, room and board, books, cost of attendance, and the Alston payments, which are usually up about $6,000 a year. So you're always going to have some guys on the team who are going to take an NIL deal of equivalent or better than that if you feel you need to go over the 85 scholarship limit. Or if you're in a jam. Here's an example, and this won't surprise you where it happened. Graduate student Cam Good at Michigan last year. Good was asked to give up his scholarship at Michigan to make room for another player. And instead of transferring to another school that could offer him a scholarship, Good chose to stay at Michigan and pay for his tuition through his NIL. Quote, I was open to it. I'm not a selfish person at all. If anything, I'm selfless. It was all for the better. I knew they were going to take care of me. I'm a good player. They love me. I've got a great personality, and I knew they'd take care of me for sure. So there you have it. If you're willing to pony up, the 85-man limit is totally obsolete. Toby Keith died in February, and it's really common in celebrity culture for famous people to kind of latch on to a team and pretend like they're some kind of diehard. Think of like USC during the Pete Carroll era, how many fake USC fans came out of the woodwork and by the way, where have they been? Or like the Miami Heat when LeBron signed there. But as real fans of something, that's always bothered the hell out of me. And I always find it really obnoxious when one of those celebrities is at a game and they constantly flash the camera to them as if we care what their reactions are. But there are some real ones. You think Matthew McConaughey at Texas, like that dude's a legit Texas fan. No doubt about it. But Oklahoma had one too, and that was Toby Keith, a native Oklahoman who was as into the Sooners as all of us are into our Bucks. A guy who was on stage and brought up the national championship winning Oklahoma softball team and sang that song, How Do You Like Me Now, with them up there. I just think it's really cool. And they are honoring him. He tragically passed away with this on their football field for the season. They also mourned him at a basketball game in Oklahoma by drinking out of red Solo cups. And they're going to have this on the field for the season. It's a sad story, but the dude was a true Oklahoma fan. And I got to imagine that this is the coolest way he would have liked to have been honored by them. So cool story. Props to Oklahoma for doing that. I love it. Carmani McClain came out and talked some smack about Dion in Colorado. He said he wanted to go somewhere where they didn't play for clicks. And, you know, Deion Sanders obviously had called him out. We went over that before, saying that he needs to get to practice, or he needs to get to meetings, needs to show up to meetings, needs to get in shape, etc. And Carmani wanted to kind of call him back out, maybe get his get back there. So word has it that Carmani is being linked right now with UCF, USF, and Memphis. So he's not going to need to worry much about playing for clicks. Congratulations to him. Gene Smith hit on new facilities on his exit interview last week with Doug Lamorese. Ross Bjork is going to get those new facilities built. If there's anything that Ross Bjork is good at, it's getting money and building stuff and spending money. Like, this is his bread and butter. Mr. Smooth, big spender, and he's going to get those facilities built. And he's very much known to be a huge fundraiser, and I think that this is going to kind of speed up the process for that, which is excellent. I was looking at Ohio State's facilities versus some of the competitors, and I just got a really nice comp picture here of Ohio State's locker room with kind of a similar shot down the line. So we're going to go Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. And that's a whole lot of purple. That's a whole lot of purple. And you can see the Buckeyes. I mean, yeah, it's adequate. It's good, but it doesn't compare to that. So how long is it going to take once Ross Bjork can get that thing approved to build it? Well, Notre Dame just approved theirs. They're getting a whole new facility, and that's going to be built in 2026. So looking like 2 years from the time he gets it approved to getting it completed. Notre Dame is notoriously cheap. They did build a sweet indoor stadium or indoor facility that I'm pretty jealous of, not because I get to play there, but just because I watch a lot of clips of our guys from there, and I want to see it at a nice, airy facility like this. This looks so nice, man. This is beautiful. But their new facility is going to be 150,000 square feet and include amenities like, you know, an advanced training room, augmented reality room, two-story auditorium, you know, all the stuff they're doing now. And I would love to tour one of these places. I think that would be awesome. So once the Buckeyes build that, I'm definitely going to tour it. And if I'm ever around a college campus, I will try to get myself a tour of one of those, because these places are so cool. We had some spring games over the weekend. 40,000 were in attendance at the Texas spring game. And they got a treat as they got to watch their man, Arch Manning.
A bunch of explosions, just a bunch of fireworks. And again, you want everybody to stay healthy, B-Rob, but this offense does not look like it has missed a step.
No, not at all. I mean, when you look at it, and even the guys that were able to step up, you know, DeAndre Moore had a big day today. Really clicking today.
Let's talk about Arch, because we're going to have to, right? This was going to be the strategy going in, right? It was Quinn Ewers, play a couple of series, and all of a sudden hand the ball, and really the team, over to 16. You looked at me a couple of times with an interesting.
The dude's a stud. Look, I was wrong. I'm going to admit it right now. He was the number one player coming out of high school. I wasn't going for it. I was not going for it. I did not think he deserved it. You know, he was over Caden Proctor, Keon Keeley, Caleb Downs. Gosh, that was a good class for Alabama. I just wasn't going for it, man. I didn't believe it. This dude looks excellent. He's thick. He's athletic. He moves good. He looked in great control of that offense. And I think he's going to be really good. And I think Quinn Ewers staying a year, or staying his senior year, was the best thing that could have happened to Arch Manning. But I think that guy's going to be really good. And that's not great news, because Texas, after Georgia and Ohio State, has absolutely got it rolling in a way that I don't think anybody else does. I think there's a gap after them to Oregon when we talk about just kind of strength, overall strength of the program. And they're scary, man. 247 did a top 25 list heading out of spring. And Ohio State is now their number one team. That's 247 Sports now. So pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff there. You know, I've been saying for a long time, I think the Buckeyes should be the number one team. And more people are coming around to this opinion. And hey, it just might go off with the Buckeyes as the favorite. I don't know. I'm going to get some pushback on that. Every time I say it, somebody gets angry at me. But it is what it is, buddy. There it is right there. 247 Sports, to me, is the most respected name in sports, to be honest, in college sports. That's my opinion. But number one, Ohio State Buckeyes. Kyle McCord had himself a day, according to a lot of people, but he's apparently the savior of Syracuse football now. They absolutely went nuts. It's his opening pass.
McCord's pass is complete to number one.
Go-to guy in the secondary as well. Third down, McCord, a deep ball.
There's a beauty.
Right into Zeed Haynes for a 38-yard touchdown. Fourth and three. Defense trying to get off the now field. McCord floats it up in double coverage. Yeah, double and he coverage. Threads the needle.
That's
what a grab. Terrell Gill Jr. calls it in for a gain of 27.
I like it. Just the patience. It's so calm. Two big fourth down conversions for McCord on this drive, but he's able to
the top of the screen. This guy's one-on-one coverage, easy touchdown. He doesn't even see it. That's typical Kyle there. That ball's supposed to be over here between that wide receiver and the sideline. And it's just typical McCord, honestly. It's just typical McCord. Everybody's saying how he played so good. I watched plenty of the game. He did not play so good. He looked like McCord. He made some good throws, and he made a lot of, like, what are you doing, dude? There's a touchdown over here. You're throwing into double coverage here. But, the buzz is Kyle McCord played great. He didn't, but they love him, and they're happy with him. And I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for Syracuse. I like it when Syracuse is good. I've said it 100 times. But no, it's not. I didn't see some big improvement in Kyle McCord, and I'm hearing a whole lot of people say that today, based off a couple of highlights. That's not what I saw. That's definitely not what I saw. But the bigger story of the weekend, obviously, was Michigan's spring game, which was on Fox, just like the Buckeyes were. They had 30,000 announced in attendance. Remember, the Bucks had 80,000. That's after a national championship, and I think that's pathetic. But Juck on Bucks resident Michigan fan Tim was there, and he confirmed that it had been nice all week, and then it was cold Saturday. So there you go. It was cold. They didn't go. Alex Orji had him a day, put together a real highlight reel. Look at the crowd in the back there. Nobody's there.
For Michigan, Alex Orji, incomplete. We want
to talk to you soon. Get back there.
He might try to get back.
Said Marlon Klein can do the exact same thing.
Really high grade. That's a very tough throw.
The SEC, you could probably get away with three.
That's a huge run.
This dude is a tight end playing quarterback. This dude's so bad. Potential and rawness. That's about as nice as you can put it. After his impressive performance, he attempted to sweet talk head coach Sherrone Moore. And you just don't do that to the head coach, man. You don't do that to the head coach. What kind of operation is this? That's so embarrassing. That is so embarrassing. Oh my gosh. Coach Sherrone Moore had a few words after the game. Let's check in and see what Sherrone had to say.
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Fucking love you, man.
This is
the love the shit out of you, man. This is for you. For this university. president.
This will never get old to me. The irony of these folks calling Ryan Day for years, crying Ryan and soft, and then their school goes out and does this to them and hires that guy. It's so embarrassing. It is so embarrassing. Almost as embarrassing as Rich Rod doing this.
Leave his job. He starts talking about family and how we need to all stick together. And no matter what, we just need to stick together. And you can kind of feel the more he's talking, the more you're like,
he's throwing a Hail Mary.
He makes the entire football team stand up, lock hands like this, and put our hands in the air. And then the song, you raise me up higher than the mountains. I'm holding hands with dudes. Like, this dude is trying to save his job right now. With
you guys are all like this.
We're looking at the bust people, and they're all standing there like this. They're right, we got to hold hands more. We're looking. The fans are like looking up at us because we're on like a stage, and they're like, "What the fuck is going on?" And it's just this music is playing. We're holding hands. People are uncomfortable. Month and a half later, he's fired. It was one of the most uncomfortable football positions I've ever been.
Raise him up, buddy. But Moore did finally sign his first recruit as the Michigan coach. And this guy's no stud, for real. Nathaniel Marshall, top 50 overall, number 4 defensive lineman in the class, 6'4", 265 out of Illinois. Absolute stud. And that's going to go ahead and raise them up in the recruiting rankings from 65 to 35. The dude's no joke. So congratulations to Sharon for getting picked up and embarrassed by Alex Orgy at the 50-yard line. And, oh my gosh, I've got a picture to show you of Alex Orgy. This dude is unbelievable. This is Alex Orgy, the quarterback. Look at the thighs on this dude. That is insane. Like, you are wasting this guy by not putting him at tight end or somewhere else. He is unbelievable, but not a quarterback. That's for sure. All right, gripe time. Avery Gotch, offensive lineman out of Michigan. He's a Michigan State legacy. We're not talking about David Sanders or Jordan Seaton or Brandon Baker type. And I know a lot of people get on Fry for never landing one of those big dogs, except for Carter Lowe, who's in state, and he doesn't get a ton of credit for that. I give him some credit for that, but not a ton. The guy was down to Michigan and Ohio State while Michigan was going through the biggest cheating scandal we've seen in 20 years. So the fact that he chose Ohio State isn't, I don't know, it's not some big win, but you did get in on him early, though he is an Ohio kid. I don't know, man. Like, how much credit do you get for that? I don't know. But there was a kid he was in on big, and this is a 250th ranked prospect in the country, Avery Gotch. So not some highly rated guy, but if you choose someone and you say, I'm going all in on this guy early, and he did, made him a priority recruit, you kind of got to get him. You got to get him. A Midwest kid who is down to Wisconsin, Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State, all Big Ten, visited plenty of times, visited Michigan plenty of times. And yes, he's a Michigan kid from in-state, but Michigan appears to be in the lead for him. Steve Wiltfong has crystal balled him to Michigan, thinks it should be wrapped up pretty soon. And with the state of the program in Michigan now and the advantages that that Ohio State has right now with NIL and everything else, like if you identify this guy and say, I want this guy, you got to bag him, man. You got to bag him. These are the ones that you build a championship team on. These kind of guys that you identify early and you go get them, and you got to get them. And I just have so much concern when it comes to this guy, when it comes to recruiting. We're not talking about some superstar recruit here, but what we are talking about is a guy that he identified himself and said, I want this guy. Now, the guy hasn't made his decision yet. We don't know what he's going to decide, but it looks like he's a Michigan lean. And I just am having a hard time. My uneasiness, there has been nothing to settle my uneasiness with Fry. Let's put it that way. And it just seems like every other week it's something and never a piece of good news with this guy anymore. You know, the Carter Lowe stuff was quite a while ago. There's not another offensive lineman in the class yet. And I'm waiting for the next piece of good news out of Justin Fry. And I do want to point out that it was reported that Justin Fry's salary had gone from $1 million to $800,000. Many of us speculated that that was maybe Ryan Day sending a message, not just to him, but a message publicly. It turns out that was a clerical error. His salary did not get reduced. So where does Ryan Day sit with him? I don't know. But we all know that the offensive line is the most concerning part of the team this season. That's his unit. It's got to be better. The play's got to be better. The recruiting's got to be better. And I'm just waiting to get one piece of good news to chill me out about this guy. And when you can't nail the 250th ranked prospect in the country that you sought out and you went after, it's tough, man. We talked about the offers last week. Georgia and Alabama offering 8 of the top 10 offensive tackles in next year's class. Ohio State's in on 2 of the top 10. Not even in on the guy next door in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who looks amazing. It's concerning. It's concerning, and there is nothing that's happening with Fry that is easing my concern. So, you know, hey, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do here. I'm trying to stay calm about this guy, but, you know, it's concerning. It's very concerning to me. Maybe somebody can chill me out on it. You know, I want the best for him. I want the best for the offensive line. It appears he's a very beloved guy around the Woody. I've done some digging on him, and it appears everybody really, really likes this guy. Now, he didn't come off to me like that in the interviews I've seen of him. I kind of thought he seemed kind of smug, but apparently that's just the way he is with the media. So he's a very well-liked guy, but he's not getting through to the young guys, man. I don't know. Anyway. All right, so that's the show. Now, I did have one more thing, and I just put this together. I didn't want to look. I don't want to talk anymore about the Dallin Hayden thing. It's something that made me sad. I was sad it didn't work out for him, but I did want to counter the narrative that last little media session he did didn't mean anything. And I really think that was a guy who was going through it, and everybody kept coming out and saying, that's just Dallin. That's just how Dallin is. Look, I've seen the guy talk before. That's not how he is. Like, that was a guy who was sad or upset or going through a big life decision or had already made that decision that he was leaving and was now in a position where he was sitting there kind of having to lie. You know what I mean? Like, that's an awkward spot that they put him in. They knew when they asked him if he would go talk to the press that he would definitely not say no. He's told them yes about everything, which is why I like the kids so much. And I'm assuming they probably knew he was going through it and were trying to keep him engaged by asking him to go do that. Just an assumption. But that was definitely a guy who was not in a good place. And I went back and looked at an old interview with Dallin in the same exact setting in a spring practice. And Never mind. I just got a text right as I was wrapping this sucker up. And Dallin Hayden is going to Colorado. This is bad news for Dallin Hayden. There's no other way about it. There's no other way to say it. This is bad news. This is bad news for Dallin Hayden. He's going to go run the ball behind a patchwork 5 brand new starter offensive line, and I don't care how many carries he gets, he's going to look bad. He's going to look bad. And we thought Ohio State's offensive line has not been up to par in recent years. This is going to be an absolute disaster. It's a glorified MAC school at this point. And honestly, they had Sean Lewis there, who was a Kent State's head coach. If they still had him, they'd be in a whole lot better shape. This is bad for Dallin Hayden. Now, listen, I really like this guy. I really like him. And that's why this bothers me so much, because he went from a good situation to getting screwed over. I don't care what anybody says. He got screwed over. I don't care if anybody tells me, and I've heard it a couple times, that he wanted that red shirt. I don't buy it for a second. I don't buy it for a second, because even if he did want that red shirt, you want a red shirt because you're not going to play. And there was ample playing time there for him to be had. So he would have changed his mind, in my opinion, even if he had originally requested that red shirt. Second, that's just what that is, a request. Okay, if the coach says, sorry, we need you, then you're needed. Then you play. And if you disagree, then you transfer out. You're gone. And he's gone. So it's just horseshit, man. It's horseshit. It was clear that Ryan Day did not trust him. I don't understand why. It's not like Chip was some great blocker. And of course you bring in Quinshon. I mean, it's just circumstances that sucked for him. But honestly, if he had played last year, I think he could have accepted this a little better this year. And I still think he'd be here. And I don't feel like he's some awesome running back. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just when a guy does everything you ask him. And I just feel like he was treated like crap. And I don't like that. And as much as I praise Ryan Day for how he runs the program and how the guys come out of the program and how they act while they're in the program, I think the culture that he's built is real. I think it's not a joke. I think the brotherhood is for real. I think it's the best culture I've ever seen at a football program, bar none. And it makes me proud as an Ohio State fan. This situation with Dallin Hayden makes me sad, and it pisses me off. It really does. And I could be all wrong about this. I could have it all wrong. And I hope I do. Because now this kid has gone out to this shit show at Colorado, and it's not going to end up good for him. I mean, I'm almost certain of it. This is a guy whose dad played in the NFL and has somehow advised his son that this is an okay decision. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I'm upset. And I'll tell you what else I'm not going to do anymore. I'm a fan of the Cleveland Browns. If there is a guy that plays for the Cleveland Browns whose contract is coming up, and I don't think he's going to re-sign because I don't think he's happy with the team, then I'm going to say, I don't think John Joseph is coming back next year. I think he's going to leave in free agency. The transfer portal is free agency. Professional sports has now found its way into college football. At least 50% of the team are paid athletes, right? We all know that. Then why is it that we have some weird thing about saying when we think someone's going to enter the transfer portal now? I don't understand why that is. I get that there's this decorum that we shouldn't do that. I just don't understand why it's like that. I mean, I get that we've been feeling our way around this. It's new. But Dallin Hayden was clearly going to transfer. We all knew that he was going to transfer, or at least was a heavy transfer candidate. We all knew it. I mean, we tiptoed around it. We saw that press conference, and listen, that press conference was sad. It was sad to watch. And anybody who says that's how Dallin always is, that's not how Dallin always is. That's not how Dallin always is.
Way more vocal, and like, you know, I know what I had to work on, and I focused on that the whole offseason, and I feel like I'm doing better with those areas, so I'm very confident.
What is that? Our room clean. Me and Caleb pretty clean, so.
Okay. That's good. I was messing with it. Clean is better. Yes, sir. Those areas that you had to get better at?
I worked on a lot of catching, route running, and I worked on pass protection, so, yeah.
Yes, but like I knew I wanted to be here because Coach offered, and I know he developed guys like Zeke for 1 year, J.K. Dobbins, Mike Weber, and the list just goes on and on.
Has there been frustration that you haven't?
No, I understood, you know, it was a mutual agreement for sure. Obviously I wanted to be on the field because freshman year I played, then got redshirted, so it was tough, but, you know, everything happened for a reason.
Ezekiel Elliott, he's been my favorite back for a while now. Just like his ability to get downhill, finish through contact, and he runs with a purpose, I feel like.
Did that feel like it was going to
No, I mean, I feel like it'll still pay off, you know. We need it. We have depth, so it'll pay off.
What has it been like having
under three receivers?
How'd you end up with
you know, he's a great addition, really good player, smart football player, so it's been a good addition for sure.
I got here June 6th. I ate Canes almost every day.
Did you have Canes back?
And way more vocal and, like, you know, taking the younger guys under his wing. So, yeah, he's been a really good leader.
What was
They know our names by heart. They're like, y'all come here almost every day. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
It's good. You got to build up the body weight,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Get ready.
You either get the point there or you don't. The body language, the smile, that's not the same dude. That is a dude who is going through a rough time. Or, okay, let's put it like this. Why do we think that they asked him to go do that media session? Now, of course he was going to say yes. He can decline, but of course he was going to say yes because he said yes to them for everything they ever asked of him. So, in my opinion, they're trying to get him involved, and they send him up to do this media session. That... I feel bad for that dude. He went up to do that media session either going through a really rough time or, and I hope this wasn't the case, had already had his mind made up and knew he was leaving and was now put in this position to go up there and have to fake this whole thing, knowing he was going to go. So, you know, some people have called this the most mismanaged player in the history of Ohio State football. You can count me in that camp, at least of what we've seen. I'm sure there's probably some that have been more mismanaged behind the scenes. This was kind of all out in the open for us. And the fact that he is now at Colorado, it's bad, man. It's a bad situation. And I feel bad for this guy. And I just don't understand what in the hell it was about him. I don't think he's a great back. I really don't. Like, I'm not somebody who thinks Dallin Hayden is awesome. I never did, even when he was playing. I mean, he was effective, and I always called him effective, and nothing about him stands out as great, but he was always effective. And, you know, last year's production with Chip and X, when Dallin could have been used, Chip and X were averaging, I think, combined less than 4 yards a carry. I mean, there was just no excuse to me. And the pass pro was not a valid excuse either, because Chip was not good at it either. So I just don't know what it is, man. It'll remain a mystery to me forever. And now this guy's heading out to what a joke. What a joke. So, yeah, it appeared to me like that was a guy really going through it. And I just had to see if I was right on that. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay, this guy's just laughing and having a great time with the press the whole time. So I just, you know, I just learned how to cut this stuff together. I guess I'm just showing off. I'm showing off my cut it up skills to you guys. Anyway, that's our show today, guys. I'm so happy to be back. We're going to get after it hard this week and keep getting those reps in. If you don't mind, please like the video. My like percentage is really low. So if you did like it, please click that button for me, because that percentage is way below the standard average that I'm reading is it's supposed to be, and it's kind of making me feel bad. So if you liked it, if you could click that, it would make me happy, but I'd appreciate it. Anyway, follow the show on the podcast platforms in audio version. Actually, I got a question. So I was talking to my son the other day, and he said, I have a podcast. Said, well, I mean, I have a show, but it's in podcast format as well. He's like, no, Dad, it's just called a podcast. And I was like, well, I don't think that's right. I think a podcast is just audio. So, like, this is a show, and podcast would be the audio format of it. And he said, no, you're wrong. And then he looked it up, and it turns out I was right. Podcast is only audio. However, I think this might be a case where we kind of make a word mean something, just like we just accept it. Okay, maybe that's the official definition or how it started, but we've kind of changed it, and this is now just a podcast. So I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. I thought this was a show, and if I downloaded it into audio, then it would be the podcast version of the show. Just a technicality. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. Maybe I'm the only one interested. Anyway, thanks, guys. I will talk to you soon. Chuck Unbucks out.